book of Isaiah. We are in Isaiah chapter 42, and we begin our study in verse 1. This is our 27th study in the book of Isaiah. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Talking about Christ, the servant of the Lord, verse 1, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. And God's servant here refers to Jesus. God says that Jesus will establish fair judgment for all the people of the world. And he will at his second coming. Those who are left, those who belong to him, will have a wonderful life on a new earth with Jesus in charge. But it says in verse 2, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And that's referring to his first coming when he was here 2,000 years ago. Jesus did not shout or yell out the word of God with loud speeches. Verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice in truth. In other words, Jesus didn't kick someone when they were down. He never blasted anyone who was trying to do what was right. Jesus was always kind. And Jesus was always caring. Verse 4, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set justice in the earth, and the coast shall wait for his law. In other words, troubles and difficulties will not deter Jesus from helping others. That's what the prophet said. And troubles and difficulties did not deter Jesus from helping others. You know, in the face of persecution from the religious rulers, Jesus went ahead and helped people. And they got angry, especially if it happened on the Sabbath day. He didn't care. He cared about people. And he would not let anything deter him from doing what was right and kind and compassionate. He didn't care who didn't like it. He did it. 5. Thus says God, the Lord, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, he who spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he who giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk in it. God says, I'm the one who created the earth, and I am the one who creates everything the earth produces. God says, I am that person. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations. The Father and the Son will work hand in hand to establish what is right and what is fair. This flawed and often unfair world will one day be just a distant memory, because God the Father and God the Son are going to combine to make something good out of it. 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. And Jesus, when he was here 2,000 years ago, made blind people see. He gave physical sight, and he gave spiritual sight to those who could see the world, but couldn't see truth. And he continues to do that today. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to carved images. No one ought to ever give any honor to anyone if that honor belongs to Jesus Christ. God does not share his glory with any. You know, it isn't right to do that. And no matter what kind of spin someone might try to attach to it, they cannot make it compatible to the Word of God if that's what they are doing. And I am not a Catholic basher, but the very popular prayer to Mary, calling her our life, our sweetness, and our hope, is doing exactly what God forbids to do right here. She is not our life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. She is not our hope. Jesus is our hope. And you say, well, yeah, but it's just an intermediate between Jesus and us. No. No. You are attributing to her something that is only attributed to Jesus. And that is not right. And everything has to be measured by the Word of God. No church, no religion has a right to promote anything that is contrary to the Word of God. That is the final standard that we measure things by. Moving on to verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. God is the one who controls everything that happens. That's why he alone can tell us what will happen. Verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is in it, the coasts and their inhabitants. God isn't just the God of Israel or the God of Christians. He is everyone's God. They may not serve him. They may serve someone or something else, but God is still God. He's the only one that there is. Whether people recognize him and get the benefits of that, well, that's up to the people, but he still is God, and he is still the only God, and that's just the way it is. 11. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. Kedar was actually a city in Edom. Edom was Israel's neighbor to the south, and Edom and Israel never got along very well. But this verse is saying that when they both finally get a God focus, and they both start putting God first, well, then they're going to get along just fine. That's the way it always is. When you have two people who have a God focus and are putting Jesus first, they're going to get along fine. They may not want to marry each other. You know, they may not be compatible in enough areas for that, but they're not going to be at each other's throats if they're focusing on Jesus. 13. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. You know, when sinners force the hand of God, he's able to switch gears real quickly from meek and mild to angry and fearless. 14. I have for a long time held my peace. I have been still and restrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. God chooses the time that he will act on behalf of his people. And sometimes he remains silent for a long time. But when the time is right, he will act. 15. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up. Let me read that again. I will waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers coastlands. And I will dry up the pools. In other words, what God is saying is that when he does decide that the time is right for him to act, Nothing is going to stop him. He'll remove all barriers, and he'll get the job done. 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. God promises that he will do new and wonderful things for his people. 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in carved images, that say to the melted images, "Ye are our gods." Not everyone will enjoy the promises mentioned in verse 16. Those who have some other type of God, so-called, in their life won't have joy, but only shame, only confusion, and regret as well. Verse 18, "Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see." God is saying, you who haven't been listening to me, start listening. 19. "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant?" Now, God says, you're my people, but you're deaf. You don't hear my word. You don't make an effort to understand it. God's talking about his Old Testament people, Israel. You know, it was their job to be promoters of God, who God is and the way he is and what he's like. And they were to be lights in this dark spiritual world, but they didn't even listen to God themselves. And Christians are supposed to be that today. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to reflect God in a dark world that doesn't know him, and yet so many Christians don't know the word of God. So how can they be salt and light? How can they represent God when they themselves are deaf? How can they tell others the word of God and what is right and wrong when they don't take the time to listen to what God says themselves? Verse 20, "Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not." And so they would sit and they would listen to the word of God, which is fine, but it was like they were in a daze because they didn't care enough about God to let the word sink in. And when God first called Isaiah to preach back in chapter 6, he warned him, "You're going to preach your heart out, Isaiah, and the people aren't going to listen to you." And sure enough, that is what happened. 21, "The Lord is well pleased. For his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable." God is righteous, and that is why he wants his righteous law to be honored. 22, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are, all of them, snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore." Israel's life would have been so good if they had obeyed God. But now it's like they're living in a hole. Verse 23, "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?" God is saying, will someone start paying attention to my word, please? 24, "Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law." Because God's people would not obey him, he handed them over to trouble. He punished them hard. 25, "Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart." God says, you've suffered. That's no accident, you know. I'm trying to get your attention because you haven't been good. And yet you still have not learned your lesson. Next time, Isaiah chapter 43. Until then, so long, everyone.